Okay, I apologize about the schedule today. We're going to have a short until we have to leave somewhere in the 6 to 6:15 range. So we'll cover what we are able to cover. Some of this has been the craziest Bezdin week that I've been in a long time, the last few days.
We're going to wrap up the other day also.
Yeah, it's one thing after another. But anyway, we're going to begin a very brief series on... Oh, hi, welcome. On Ishus matters. Specifically, what a person needs to know in advance of the Mesader Kiddushin. Fundamentally, the Mesader Kiddushin is responsible for everything that goes on at a wedding, and the primary responsibility of the Mesader Kiddushin, or one of the critical functions of the Mesader Kiddushin, is to ascertain that the two people marrying each other are indeed kosher to marry each other. And that takes a number of forms. As Rabbi Willeboy says, the buck stops at the Mesader Kiddushin. People claim on questionable status, but the imprimatur on their ability to marry freely is given by the Mesader Kiddushin, which means that in advance of the Mesader Kiddushin for a couple, you have to make sure that they're both Jewish. That's important. Despite what you might read in the Jewish Week, we still believe that intermarriage is usher. You have to make sure that there's no chashash of a psul kahuna. If there's a kohen, so there's certain people that a kohen is ineligible to marry, you have to make sure that there's no zika. Let's say there's the yavama, and there may have been in a zika leiva that wasn't taken care of. You have to make sure that's the case also. You have to make sure there's no chashash mamzeris. You have to make sure that there's no issue of no se yesh al ishto. So even though the Torah may have more than one wife, we are concerned about chayr bin gershom, and we don't allow it. So if a person's married to one woman and hasn't divorced her in a halachically acceptable way, that we couldn't allow him to marry another woman. You have to be concerned about an ish ish, not marrying a man, which is more chamer than that. You have to be concerned about issues of havchana, that if a woman is grusha, she can't remarry for 90 days after the day of the divorce. The same thing by a ger georis, which we didn't have time to speak about in our ger's chair, but we'll talk about maybe a little bit in this year, this series. You have to be concerned about meinekas chaveru muveres chaveru, that you can't marry someone who's pregnant, you can't marry someone who's a meinekas up to 24 months, and you have to make sure that if there's a geirus, the geirus is a halachically acceptable geirus. So that's why, as Rabbi Willeboy says, it's important for a prospective Mesader Kiddushin to sit down with the couple that he's going to be marrying well in advance of the wedding to make sure that there are no such issues. Unfortunately, there are enough times where I get a call 3 days before a wedding that there's a shayla ben a geirus, or that someone needs to give a get to his previous wife. That was a FedEx shayla we spoke about, sending the FedEx on Erev Shabbos to Rav Shabbos, where you have to deliver the get on Sunday because the guy's remarrying Sunday afternoon. So sometimes you can do all the due diligence of the world and you get surprised at the last moment, but it's important to do whatever you can well enough in advance to save those destined employees the anguish of having to deal with last-minute emergencies. Rabbi Willig also points out, I wouldn't say this on my own, but I can quote him, that the general trend seems to be that when a shul rav or a kehila rav is Mesader Kiddushin, so often that person is going to be more diligent about this research than, let's say, a Rosh Hashiva, who's less, potentially, as much of a gadol as Rosh Hashiva might be, sometimes less attuned to some of these issues. Rabbi Shlomo Duchovsky, narratives from the Beit Din HaGadol, wrote a pretty sharp essay in Tchumin a few years ago that in Yom Yitzhubah. So he writes there that he's found Rosh Yeshiva who are very chalashim of people who just don't know how to fill in Yitzhubah. So, you know, sometimes things happen. As much as you investigate, there are always the potential of something may not come up, someone may not be totally upfront with you, they may not tell you all the information, even if you ask properly. You have to ask the right questions. Even if you ask the right questions, then you may not get the right answers, but you have to do your due diligence. Sometimes the questions might not be asked. Rav Shechter tells a story about a Talmud of his, going back many years, who discovered at some point, this is leaving out a lot of the details, but my point is the following. Talmud discovered at one point that he believed that all his everyone in the whole family was Jewish from birth, and it came out that in fact his grandparents had met in the concentration camps, and his grandmother was not Jewish, and his grandparents got married and she wasn't a Begayer, and then his mother was born, and his mother was grew up in an observant home. Moshe Feinstein was Mesada Kedusha, and subsequent to that, they found out that the mother, the grandmother, weren't Jewish. They had to do a gerus for that. So sometimes even the Gadol Dor may not be working with all the best of information. So I've had stories of we've been involved in where very prominent rabbanim or Mesada Kedusha, member of the Moetzes, Chashma Rabbanim, who may not have been fully informed about all the details about Salman's Yadut, and perhaps wouldn't have been Mesada Kedusha had they known all the facts. Nevertheless, Schwartz Shlita claim always says that there is a significant amount of credence that's given when making determinations about personal status to the fact that an Orthodox rabbi is Mesada Kedusha, because there's a strong presumption that an Orthodox rabbi is Mesada Kedusha, that he's done the due diligence and done the research and is able to represent that the people are Jewish and the people are halachically able to marry each other. Again, that doesn't always pan out, but that's the that is an assumption that many people make, and therefore it's a tremendous responsibility on the part of the Mesada Kedusha that he does the research that he needs to do going in. So the big three questions that Rabbi Wheeler always says, the Mesada Kedusha has to ask in advance. We just mentioned 12 different issues, but the big questions are there any adoptions, conversions, or divorces going back in the family? So conversions, gerus, that was the last 14th year we gave, so that we spoke about enough. Adoptions, generally speaking, also mean conversions, as most of the people, as we pointed out, adoptions are falling out of style these days in favor of other artificial reproductive techniques, but most adoptions in America were adoptions of non-Jewish children, which involved the gerus as well. We do have shilas that come up every now and then about people who adapted through a Jewish adoption agency and believed that the kid was Jewish and didn't do a gerus. So what nemanus does an adoption agency have? That sits in the answer to tshuva about a governmental adoption agency that has a certain level of nemanus of umen lamarim nasei. So he was talking about a quasi-governmental adoption agency in Morocco, and what nemanus that has in America. There have been, not really so much anymore, but there were certain big adoption agencies that specialized in Jewish children, so there may be a certain amount of credence given to the information provided by that adoption agency, even if it's not a governmental agency where it was all a Jewish clientele. Those are some cases that we deal with at times. And divorces have to do with the potential for mamzerus, which we'll talk about probably in the next year. But the first question, before you get to first base, is you have to determine whether the people that you're being assigned the Kedushin for are Jewish. So how do we make that determination, and what Neman says the person has to say that he's Jewish? Russell, I started earlier. So, we're on? Good. Okay. So the Rambam writes in Perek Yutesi Suri Bi Halachi Yudzayim, based on the Gemara Kedushin Ayin Vav Amid Beis, the Gemara there says that Kol Mishpachos are Becheskas Kesheras, that families have Becheskas Kashrus. So the way the Rambam formulates this halacha, Perek Yitesi Suri Bi Halacha Yitzayin, is Kol Mishpachos Becheskas Kesheras. So Mutar Lisa Mehan Lechachila. So the Rambam there is not talking about Bibur Yadav per se, not talking about determination for Jewishness. He's talking about the ability to marry the Heter Lakal, the fact that there's no Shemitz of Manzeris, or any other psal call. So the Rambam writes, based on that Gemara, that there is a certain cheskes kashrus, so you're allowed to marry any family based on that cheskes kashrus, unless there's some reisa. So the Rambam writes, based on that Gemara, v'achal bikein, im reisa shtei mishpachos, shem itzgarit zuvuzu, tamid, if you see two families that are always fighting with each other, or other inappropriate or suspicious activities, then call a postal, the move a postal, then you have to be suspicious. Then maybe there is some shemitz of psul. If you see people are not Baishanim, Rahmanim, Balmei Chasadim, so then there may be a chashash that they're not really Jewish. The focus here of the Rambam is on a chashash mamzeris, a chashash of psul kahuna, and the like. And the Rambam is quoted lalacha in Evan Ezer, Simon Beis, Seif Beis, Evan Ezer, Simon Beis, Seif Beis, that absent a reisa, absent a reason to believe that there's some psul or some chashash about this person's status, then there is a certain cheskas kashrus. Rashi seems to say that much as well, and that's a good kedushin, ayin vav amid beis. Rashi Dibur Maskel Huzur Kasheros. Kedushin Ayin Vav of the Beis. Rashi Dibur Maskel Huzur Kasheros. Kohanos Linasei L'Psulin. So there's no prohibition for Kohanos to marry Psulin. Kagon Chalali Geri Charure. The Kevin de Lohikpida Torah Leyam Liyosin. Rabban Anami Lo Avid Behu Mala. Lasuchin Abedika. So since there are many restrictions about who a Kohen is not allowed to marry, but a Bas Kohen doesn't have that same level of restriction, so therefore there's no need for Bedika. V'afilu mafmas mamzeris v'shesukos elo ki yiskazeg yisur abed. And even to check for mamzeris, for a shesuki or the like, you only have to be concerned if it's yiskazeg yisur. V'afal ha-chashash ha-levita glos ruchinuv. But absent the chashash, absent the reisa, there's no need to be voted. Okay, so that Rashi Kedushin, the Rambam and the Yisurei Bias seem to indicate that there is a starting presumption that a person has a cheskes kashrus, so there's a chazaka that he is mutter lavo la kahal, he or she, absent the reis. The Torah there quotes the Ramah, who has a more nuanced position. The Ramah writes, as cited by the Torah, Had Amr Kalam Mishpachas Becheskas Kesheros, Hainu Mad Islay Cheskas Kashrus. That's assuming that there is a starting point of Becheskas Kashrus, as opposed to the Mashmos of the Rambam and Rashi, that the starting point is without asking any questions that the person is Kasher. The Rambam says there has to be a basis for a Cheskas Kashrus, then you don't have to do any Bidikos. But Mad Lesay Chazaka Cheskas Kashrus, if a person doesn't have a Cheskas Kashrus, meaning what? You don't know who they are. You don't know one way or another. They could be fine. There might be a problem. You never met them before. It's not a family that's existed, that's been living in the community. Then, and then you need to write. So as opposed to the Mashmos, the Rambam, the Rav Yishonim, that the baseline starting point is a person has an emunah to say that they're Jewish, to say that there's no mamzeres, that they're kisherim. It lesses a reyasa. The Ramah says, even absent a reyasa, if it's not a mishpacha you do, if you don't know who they are, if there's no starting point cheskes kashrus, then you have to do a bedika. One second. Ve'ein eid echa neman, afa pidu lehuzer v'sheiros milan asim psulim, hani milu psul kura, vel psulei kol, and balisa yisraelis, lo shafkinan adem maisi raya, shema evadu akka. So there, even eid echa is a neman. You certainly need two eidim to establish that the person is Mutter Lakal, where there's no starting point Cheskes Kashrus in Jew.
So, could we sort of formulate this as sort of the, as Rashi and Rambam have more, maybe not exactly, but more of an innocent until proven guilty approach, Rambam is more guilty until proven innocent?
You could say
that. A little bit of a...
Yeah, if you want to use that terminology. Yeah, but the Rambam says that absent a pre-existing Cheskes Kashrus, you have to do Bedikas. How do we assume lahalach in this machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramah? Again, strictly speaking, the Rambam and the Ramah here are not talking about biur yadah, they're talking more about kahuna issues and chashash mamzeres, but those may not be that different. So the Beit Shmuel there in Sifkat and Gimel, Evan Ezra, seven days of Sifkat and Gimel, Beit Shmuel there quotes this Ramah lahalacha, and if you look in the Pesukei Tshuva, Sifkat and Beis, Pesukei Tshuva quotes many achronim that are cholik on this psak of the Ramah. So again, in Shulchan Aruch there, Beis is no gelashin Rambam. Beis Shmuel quotes the Ramah that absent a cheskas kashrus, you have to be bodek, and the Pesukei Tshuva quotes other achronim that argue with the Beis Shmuel citation of the Ramah. Okay. Now what about Birur Yahadut? What nemanus does a person have, or does a person have nemanus? If a person shows up and claims that he's Jewish. So there are two sugyas here that are relevant to this discussion. One is the Gemara in Daf Mevavah Mevayz Mevzayim and Aleph and Yibamos. The other is the famous Gemara in Pesachim Daf Gimel Mevayz about that non-Jew who masqueraded as a Jew and ate from the Korban Pesach for a number of years until he was caught. So there, Tosas writes in Pesachim Gimel Mevayz, "Iker Maskul Va'ana." So this Nafi claimed that he ate from the best of the best of the Korban Pesach. So Tosa says the following: Mikan ein raya shenami l'chol habal lefaneinu v'omer Yisraeli. So maybe with a sefer this Gemara, that this is a raya, that anyone comes forward and says, I'm Jewish, you believe him. Because what happened here? The guy came to Yerushalayim, no one asked him any questions, and they gave him from the best of the best. He joined the Chaburi from Pesach, no one asked any questions. So shouldn't that be a raya that the person's nema to say that he's Jewish? Tell us that's not necessarily. Maybe that's not a raya. Because Shani Halka Derovi Salayu, Vazlina Basaruba. So maybe that's different. Maybe here, you only have nemanis to say that you're Jewish if the rove are Jewish. So the rove of people in Yerushalayim, the rove of the people on the Harabayas in Erev Pesach are Jewish. So then, you have nemanis to say that you're from the rove. But let's say you're in Chutz Laaretz, so you're in a city where it's rove Nachrim, anywhere else in the world. So then, you don't have nemanis to say that you're Jewish. And you don't have a rove Yisrael. So Tosafot says you don't necessarily have a raya for the Gemara Masechta. However, you do have a raya for the Gemara Yevamos. What's the Gemara Yevamos? The Gemara Yevamos Mehei Med Aleph. The story of the product of an Eved V'Akum Habav Bas Yisrael, the product of a non-Jewish father, and a Jewish mother, who was having trouble with Shiduchim. And he went to Rava. And Rabbi said in Eitzah, El Goli Onasib Bas Minach. So either marry someone else with similar yichus, marry someone else who also has a non-Jewish father, or go somewhere else where they won't ask you questions, and you'll marry a nice Jewish girl. So the mashmas of that Gemara, El Goli Onasib Bas Minach, is that the guy was going to go to another community where they didn't know him, and they wouldn't ask any questions, and he'd get a good shidduch. So that sounds like person's neman to say that he's kosher l'kal, he's neman to say that he's Jewish, and no one is going to ask, no one needs to ask any questions. So Tosfos thinks that's a raya that a person has neman is to say that he's Jewish. And then the Gemara later on in that Amud, and the next Amud, the Gemara has Huda Asa L'kambi de Rebbe Huda. So this person came forward and he said, I was Megayer on my own. So we just said, Neman ata lifsal es asmacha, vieta neman lifsal es banecha. So there, he had Nemanus to pass himself. Niskayarti beni levin asmi means it's not a good geirus because you need a bezin. So you have Nemanus to pass yourself to say there wasn't a good geirus, but you don't have Nemanus to pass your children. So what do you see from there? That, strictly speaking, other than the Shavei Nafshei Chatichin Yisura passing himself, the bottom line assumption is that a person is Naaman to say that he's Jewish. What about the Gemara later on in Vavam Mebeis? Where the Gemara says if a person, Misha Bav Amar Gerani, we're not Mekabalim. So Tosfos said, that's talking about where he's Mofsak as a Nachri. So this whole discussion that a person has Nemanus to say Yisrael, I mean, that's only if we have no knowledge going in. We never met him before. He comes forward. He says, Yisrael Ani. He has Nemanus. If we know that he was a Nachri, and now he's coming claiming I was Megayus, so then you need to bring it right. Then he had a Cheskas Nachrius. The other Chazaka brother said he wasn't Jewish, so to uproot that Chazaka, you need a right. But if a person comes forward, we know nothing one way or another, he should have nemanus to say that he's Jewish. And the Gemara has over there, in the context of the nemanus to say that he's Megayer, so there's a certain Migo. Migo, he could have said, if we don't know that he's not Jewish to begin with, we don't know one way or another, never met the guy before, so Migo, he could have said he's Israel, if he'd be believed. He has, that's a Tosa and Zofa over there. There's a Migadi Bayam Yisalani. That, in a situation where if a person came forward and he said, I'm Yisrael, so he has Nemanus, so if he comes and says, I was Megayer, he's Neman Migo, that he could have said, Yisraelani. So what emerges from Tosos is that as long as a person does have a Cheskas Nachrius, as long as a person isn't Mufsak as being a Nachri, he has Nemanus to say that he's Jewish, or even that he was Megayer. Tosfos here in Yevamos, on Daf Mem Zayin Aleph, Dibur Maskeh B'Mufsak, Here Tosus writes that even the Gemara in Psachim made the Araya. Tosus in Psachim says he can't bring Araya for the Gemara in Psachim because maybe that's different. There there's a Rov. There Yushalayim, there's a Rov Yisraelim. So you can't prove from there that a person has Neman Estam if there's no Rov Yisraelim. And Tosus here in Yavavah says, no, maybe there's a Araya even from there. Because Rov Habam Lefanenu B'Toras Yadus Yisraelim. You always have a rov. What's the rov? The question is, what's the set? The Tosner is assuming this set. Some set is all the people in the Harvayis, all the people in Yerushalayim. Tosner Yibaba says the set that you have to look at is who's coming to claim that they're Jewish. So rov of the people who claim that they're Jewish are Jewish. That's the rov that you have to look at. Rov avam lefenena v'tores yadus Yisrael. Hey. If you look at the Ritva there, Yibamas and Zayim and Aleph, Dibra Maskel, Beid Ba'aretz. So the Ritva here, the Gemara the Machlokas Tanayim, where does this Nemanis extend to? That according to the Gemara has Misha Babamar Gera and Yachal Lekablenu. So maybe it is said if a person comes forward and says, I'm a ger, we accept him right away. Tamalomber, itcha b'mosak lach. So we don't necessarily accept him unless there's a chazaka. Bav eidah v'imominayim. So how do we know that if he comes with eidim, he has nemanus? Tamalomber, chi agur itcha ger bar tzuchem. Ein li elav aretz. Chutz aretz minayim. So how do we know that he has nemanus b'chutz aretz? Tamalomber, itcha b'chal makam sh'itcha. And came out of long Aris, Aris are Flavi Rai, because our names are Flavi Rai, never Buddha. According to Rabbi Huda, you have to bring a Raya that you're a Ger in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laaretz. According to Chachamim, Bein Ba'aretz, Bein L'Chutz Laaretz. So the Ritvaz on that line, Bein Ba'aretz, Bein L'Chutz Laaretz, that why does he have Ne'emanus to say that he's a Ger? So not only Migo, he could have said Yisrael Ani, but the Ritvaz says it's a Milsa David Yelavuyeh. The person is going to claim that he's Jewish, we'll get to the bottom of it, we'll find out if he's lying. So the person is not going to lie when we know we're going to catch him in the lie. The Milsa David lo gluye lo mashakri inshi. The person is not going to be mashakir if we know we're going to catch him, if he knows he'll be caught. So that's why he has nemanus to say that he's Jewish. And the Ritva says, v'chei ma'isim b'chol yom. So I don't know how ma'isim b'chol yom, how often did it happen in... by the Ritva that the people came and claimed that they're Jewish. I'm not sure who would have wanted to be Jewish then. But that's how we operate. So how do we pass in here about Nemanus to say that you're Jewish, either Ger or Yisrael? So if you look in the Siman HaGeira, Siman Beis Samaches, Seif Yud, Mechaber Paskins, so Ger comes forward and says, I was begaring such and such a bezdin. So the starting point is you need Edim to prove the Geras. But if you see that they're living as observant Jews, even if you don't have Edis, there's a chazaka that they are Jewish. The Alpha Pika Edim Bo, this RV Sol, Emasino Samachi Vu Edim, Oachiat Bufanek. But if you want to marry, so then you need Edis because there are Milksakas of the Kochavim. So anyone that's Milksakas of the Kochavim, that we saw as Milkska Machal Deos, so some is Milkska, if some is Milksak as an Akri, so then you need to bring a Raya that you're a Yisrael. However, if the guy wasn't Milksak as an Akri, says the Mechaber, it's based on the Rambam. If a person's not Mosak as an Afri, then we say, Pesha Asr, Pesha Hitter. He comes forward and he says that he was Megayer, and we had no reason to believe he wasn't Jewish from birth. So then, Migo that he could have said, like Tosas explains, Migo he could have said that he's Yisrael from birth, and he says he's a Ger, he has Ne'emanus. Okay, so Me'ikir Adin, what seems to emerge, is that if a person comes and says that he's Yisrael, absent a chazaka that he was an Afi at some point. He has them on us. That seems to be Mishum Ne'ikir Hadin. Nevertheless, in contemporary times, there may be a higher threshold of Biur that's necessary for one of the following two or three reasons. Avi.
Can I just go back and clarify one thing about the Ritva? First, you said you have Nemanis to say that you're a Ger, because you could have said you're Yisrael.
Right.
And then you could have said that we lie. What was that second point?
The Tosus says he has Nemanis Migo that he could have said he's Yisrael. And the Ritva adds that it's a Milsa David Lagluye Lo Meshavri Hitchi. That if a person's going to lie and say that he's Jewish and he's really not, we're going to find out. So that's
Kalatosul,
first of all.
Really?
You don't have to come out to the Migo. Even if you didn't have a Migo, you could still say, Milsa David Lom Meshachri Inchi. The Gos not saying Migo.
Oh, so it's a reason to believe him.
Tosa says that you believe him because of a Migo. You could have said that he's Jewish from birth, so you believe him to say that he's a Ger. The Ritva saying by anyone in general, forget about the Migo, forget about the Ger. The person comes forward and says Yisrael. So he's believed to say Yisrael Ani because it's a Milsa David Lagluye, Milsa David Lagluye, Lo Meshachri Inchi. Michael.
According to Ritva, they told me it's a Chazaka.
Again?
Ritva saying it's a Chazaka, right?
What is it's a Chazaka?
That if a person comes saying he's a Jew, then you assume that most people who claim they're Jews are really Jews.
Tell us who says that's a Rov.
So what did Ritva say again?
The Ritva says that the reason a person has that modus to say that he's Jewish is because Milsa David Lagluye Lo Meshachri Inchi. We're going to find out, if he's lying, we're going to catch him. So there's a undana that a person is not going to lie if we're going to catch him in the lie. Okay? Good.
And just to clarify the psak, that any ger needs, if he's muksak as a
outgoing,
then he needs edim.
Then if he's edim, mariah.
If he's already living in the community somehow without having been brought to edim to begin with.
So if he was muksag as a nachri, but now living a Jewish lifestyle, so then the psak and shulchan aruch based on the Rambam is he's becheskas ger tzedek, but in order to marry, he needs to have a raya or edus.
So the first question is, how did he get into being becheskas ger tzedek without ever having brought edim to begin with?
Because he moved to the community, he went to shul.
But I thought right away we have to start asking for.
If you want to be beside a Jewish, you have to ask him. It doesn't say you have to ask him when he moves to the community.
I thought that was the first psak that we were talking about there.
What do you mean?
Ger needs to bring edim that he had a gift.
In order to do what?
Oh, in order to marry, I guess that's what you're saying. So then when do you, so if he comes right away to marry, so then you need to bring.
Look, the situation is the Gemara of Niskayarti Ben Asi, whatever he says, it doesn't tell us what the context is. It could be he's coming to you because he wants to get Aliyah in Shul, he wants to enroll his kids in the day school, or whatever the case, he wants to make Aliyah into the Chol Kashrut, whatever the case is. But the bottom line is, as we said, the buck stops with the Masada Kedushin. So whether or not you did any research before, the research has to be done before the wedding.
Okay.
But you could have a case where a person is knowing Bidarcha Yisrael, no one questioned it before, he moved to the community, no one knew one way or another, and wasn't into his business.
So then that's what he has business. To do.
But if he wants to get married, so then you have to bring Edom or Raya that there was a Gairs.
Okay.
Where he was Mufsa before and there's an Achri. Okay. One second. I may have to. See how much longer I can say. Good. Okay, I'm still here. Right. So as we said, Me'ikar Adin, absent the Chazaka, that a person is a Nachri, there should be Ne'emanus to say Yisrael Ani. As a practical matter, there are certain qualifications here which necessitate a stronger Birur Yadut in contemporary times. Definitely when we're dealing with people who come from Mishpachos that are not Michasos, Mishpachos where people who are not observing going back, where there's less of a presumption that everything was fine. So number one, there's a comment to the Ber Hetiv the Berheita and Sifkat and Dalit, again, we're still in back to Evan Ezra Simon Bay, Sifkat and Dalit. So the Berheita there has quotes, a Takanas Medina Slita. There's a Takana in Lithuania. She'ei Lasad Rishum Kedushin, El Imk Yesh La Raya, that he's Yisrael. So there's a Takana in Lita that no one could be Masada Kedushin unless there's a Raya that the person getting married is Jewish. So even though Mikra'in was sufficient, the sufficient amount the person comes and says Yisraelani, Takana in Lita not to be Masada Kedushin unless there is a Biwur that he's Jewish. The Aruch HaShulchan somewhat qualifies this. The Aruch HaShulchan Simon Beis Oski Gimel, Beis Gimel. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that there's a difference between someone who comes from a family who's a known family, so then you don't need a raya, and an individual person coming from a faraway country where we don't know who they are, which was essentially, I think, the intent of the Takana of Medina Flita, that if someone's in the community for generations, so everyone knows who they are. Someone comes from out of town, out of the country, from a different part of the world, so then you have to do a beer to figure out who they are. So that's what the Rosh Hashanah is saying, that if you know the family, you're from a family that you're familiar with, so you know who they are, you know the Yichus. Someone's coming from somewhere else, we don't know who they are, so then you have to do the beer before allowing for a chasana. In the Sefer Mishneh Sager, in the second part, Simen Samet Gimel Os Gimel, Simen Samet Gimel Os Gimel, he points out that we saw this in Tosfos. Many of the Rishonim had this formulation that the Ne'emanos to say that you're Jewish is based on a certain rov. Right, the way Tosfos Yavama said it, that rov habam lefanenu v'toras yadus yisraelim. Rov of the people that come and claim that they're Jewish are Jewish. So the Mishnah Sager points out most of history that was true, especially because there was usually very little incentive to want to be Jewish through the 2,000 years of persecution. But nowadays, the facts are different. Nowadays, if you're looking at all the waves of Russian immigration to Israel, so it's not necessarily the case that the people claim that they're Jewish are Jewish. There are very high numbers of people who want to claim that they're Jewish, who would benefit from being Jewish, who aren't Jewish. So that could definitely call into question whether this whole rove exists to begin with. And also he points out, if you're going to operate with the Ritva, as Milsa Davidi Lagluye, so it's not necessarily always Davidi Lagluye. If you're dealing with Russians or people coming from Eastern Europe or countries that don't have records going back, so it's very difficult to go to those records or access the records, which may not even exist, to determine whether the person is in fact Jewish or not. So it's not necessarily a Milsa Davida Lugluye. There's a Psak Din printed in the Pisket Din Yerushalayim, Chelet Zayin, page 386. Pisket Din Yerushalayim, Chelet Zayin, page 386. Case of a Bir Yadut for someone of Russian background.
Who's the Pisket Din Yerushalayim?
Pisket Din Yerushalayim is not the Pisket Din Rabbanim. It's a separate, the Bez Din of Avram Levine, which is was kind of in Rav Yashiv's sphere of influence that operated independently from the Rabbin of Bez Din. So they have their published proceedings. So there, they point this out. In the case of a woman who, a Russian woman who ended up in France and ended up in Eretz Yisrael. So they point out, you can't necessarily say that Rov Habad Lefanenu, to say that they're Jewish, are Jewish. Not true nowadays. Most of the people coming from Russia are not, and they're coming to Israel for economic reasons, for financial reasons. And there's a Takanas Medina Slita. which we follow. So you can't be kovei yadur simply on the representation of the parties. The Chazon Ish, I think I sent this to you in the Mamar Komos, Chazon Ish in Yoredei and the Siman of Geirus, quotes from Chaim V'Loshin in the Chodah Meshulash, Chaim V'Loshin wrote in the Siman Hay, that if a person doesn't speak Yiddish, so that's a strong reisa in the chazaka that they're Jewish. And you can't assume, if someone doesn't speak Yiddish, then you have no right to assume that they're Jewish. So even if you would have relied on cheskas yadus, they don't speak Yiddish, you can't assume that. So the Chazon Ish points out that may be lufi hamachum lufi hazman. Nowadays there are many fine Jews who don't speak Yiddish, and that in of itself is not a... maybe other causes for concern, but that in of itself is not proof positive. Now we have non-Jews who also speak Yiddish, right? Okay. Ramosha has a tshuva in Eben Ezra Chelek Aleph Siman Vav. The case was a irreligious woman who claimed that she is Jewish. So Moshe writes, V'dvar mashi ein raya al ein ishto shayse yehudis rak mashi amar labita v'lo she yehudis. So the only raya, the only evidence that we had that this woman was Jewish was her own representation. So it's true that Tosu says your father wrote, there were the people claim that they're Jewish or Jewish, and that technically speaking is true even if they weren't observant. However, in this case, that was true where there was anti-Semitism, and to be Jewish would be to subject yourself to the sin of the son of Israel. And why would she have an interest in saying that she's Jewish? In this particular case, Ramosha said that here there was some talk of a geirus, and it was questionable whether there really was a geirus, and maybe they know what they're talking about. So definitely where there's people who are not religious, that does pose another cautionary note, that you can't necessarily assume that you have this rove to believe that they are Jewish. Moshe, I mean, he doesn't say that explicitly, because then he goes on to discuss the specifics of the case, but that seems to emerge from the thrust of the Tshuva. The bottom line, we generally assume that if a person comes from a family where, as far back as we know, they were observant, they're part of the firm community, so then there's a certain chazaka that's established that you don't have to do that much more research about. Again, assuming that no convergence, adoptions, divorces, or any other things, and the other areas that we're going to have to explore that you have to look into as well. But if someone comes from a non-observant background, someone comes from an immigrant background from other countries, the Russians coming to South America, so then there's a certain amount of due diligence that needs to be done in order to have a comfort level with the Jewishness of the people. And sometimes that's not something that the local rabbi is going to be qualified to do on his own. Sometimes that needs to be bumped up to the Beis Din for the Beis Din to evaluate itself. Okay, so I think we're going to stop here for today. Next time, we will pick up with a discussion of how to deal with Chashash Mamzerus, both in terms of, talk a little bit about the status of civil marriages in Halacha, and how to create or not create or get around problems with Mamzerus. Then we'll have to talk about some of these other issues of Sulikuna and Tafchana and the like.